This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Yes, it's James Hetfield. Nah.
No, it's not. I sound nothing like James Hetfield other than...
Hey, hey, we are here. Our phone number is...
Now you sound like you're from Boston.
603-283.
6160.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. James Hetfield. James Hetfield is infamous. For no other reason than stealing James Brown's shtick.
Okay.
So if you listen to a lot of James Hetfield of Metallica, and the way he ends his sentences, right, and that kind of thing, and then you listen to a bunch of James Brown, where he's all,
Is he admitted to this, like, or is this just a claim within the music?
It's a common claim within, you know, we'll call it musicians.
All right.
Right, not necessarily the, I guess technically the music industry, these are musicians who are, well, at least trying to make money.
I'd say that he didn't even rip him off. Like, are you going to tell me that Hetfield's now the hardest working man in music?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm saying his vocal isms were directly inspired.
Mm. Allegedly directly inspired by
James Brown. Nah. Yeah.
I mean, if he had came and said, like, oh, yeah, I listened to a bunch of James Brown, that was totally my inspiration, then, like...
Yeah. I don't know that he's ever said that.
Okay.
I don't know that he hasn't, but it's my assertion, having listened to a bunch of James Brown and a bunch of James Hetfield, ironically both named James, that, yeah, there's a whole lot of...
Okay.
A whole lot of similarity. Yeah. Similarity going on.
Fair enough.
I do a horrible James Hetfield, and I'm not even going to try to impersonate James Brown. Before we go on, I need to let all of you know that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. These masternodes then vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by the treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. That's dash.org. I actually... used them the other day. Something I wanted to get off of, like, Amazon or whatever. I went to bitrefill.com. And knowing that crypto's sort of on the rise, at least Bitcoin is right now.
Yep.
It was, I don't know, 37,000 or something like that.
It touched over 37 and dropped down to 35.
And I noticed that, like, you know, the fees were getting kind of high to do what I wanted to do. It was going to cost me like $10 if I spent BTC or something like that. And I was like, well, wait a minute. How much Dash do I add enough Dash to do the thing I wanted to do?
Nice.
And so on BitRefill, I bought myself an Amazon Dash gift card. And bam! I mean, there was no wait at all. Usually when you go to like BitRefill and you try to buy a gift card with, you know, BTC or BCH or something like that, it'll be like, hey, we've detected your inquiry, your desire for a gift card, and we'll let you know. So you get an email, right? You log into the thing, you scan a QR code, you put in the amount, whatever, and then it sends you an email to whatever email address you put in the thing. And he goes, yep, we see your transaction, but it's not ready yet. You have to wait. And then later on, they'll send you another email that says, okay, now it's ready. And that's just them waiting for, like in the case of BTC, for the transaction to have enough, what's the word I'm looking for? Verifications.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Enough verifications that the transaction is legitimate. Usually they wait for 3 to 7 verifications before they will declare the transaction legitimate. Dash, however, man, like I got the email confirmation that it had gone through and was ready before I got the one that said, hey, we're waiting.
Nice.
That's how quick it was. So I really enjoyed Dash just for that reason recently. We are called Free Talk Live, so let's go to the phones. Your calls and thoughts. We have an unscreened caller calling. What's your name, please?
Before you go on too far, that was the Dash read. Like, was there the, did we miss the whole Dash sent us money type of thing?
I did that before. That.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Missed it. Unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
Dave in New Hampshire, also known as Ridley.
As in RidleyReport.com?
That guy.
What's on your mind, Dave?
So I have an update on Rebuild New Hampshire, or RebuildNH.com. They have put out a petition trying to stop the governor from, so it says, quote, now therefore we, the undersigned, hereby demand Governor Sununu and the New Hampshire Department of Health and Human Services to end their recommendation for children to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, unquote.
Wait, what? Where? This is the New Hampshire legislature?
No, it's Rebuild NH, which is it's just a powerful anti-lockdown organization.
Okay, and so they're putting forth a recommendation that says we should no longer recommend COVID shots.
They want the governor and the state, you know, bureaucracies to stop recommending children get the vaccine, which I had no idea they were still doing. But anyway, the petition got 1,000 signatures on the first day. It was at about 1,600 signatures a couple days ago.
Here's my question when it comes to these petitions and signatures and the way you worded it, right? We demand the governor do something, whatever it is, right? What is that demand backed by should he not acquiesce to your demands?
Voting for Democrats.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that the threat?
How about just basically voting?
Well,
we recommend everybody just stop voting.
Well, that's different, right? But if the threat is we demand you do X, or we're going to vote for your competitor, and we know that the competitor is likely worse.
Yeah,
is that really a threat?
Like, it does seem pretty empty.
What is the weight of the demand,
Dave?
Well, I think if you want to do something that would get them, what Erica Chenoweth says, she's sort of the scientist of civil disobedience. She's been a guest on your show. She says all you really have to do is get all the people. You just have to get 3% of the people to do one relatively minor act of defiance, peaceable defiance. It has to be peaceable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, you can change government policy.
What is that peaceable act then in this case? Democrat?
The one that she recommends, and or she says the stats back it up the most strongly, is some kind of strike. So I suppose that could be a labor strike or a tax strike or a, you know, like the boycott of the buses, which Martin Luther King Day, they had the bus strike. A strike, she says, is the most powerful thing.
Okay. I'm all for a tax strike, but the likelihood is they're going to come heavy-handed to recollect that money at some point.
Well, that's not the point, right? Like, if they're going to do something bad, that doesn't mean you help them.
Well, that's paying taxes altogether, right? If you're not paying taxes, you are helping them do bad things.
Well, and here's the thing. Everyone has a level of courage.
Yep.
Some people have the level of courage where they will stop paying taxes altogether.
Yeah.
Some people do not have that level of courage, but they still want you to stop recommending that people who are in no way, shape, or form at risk from COVID not be recommended to get a vaccine that you are at risk from.
I get it, but it's the phrasing of the demand. We demand that you do this. with nothing backing it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a child going, I demand to stay up past my bedtime, and the mom or dad going like, no.
Aw, isn't that adorable?
Right. I feel like that's the way they look at anything they're demanded of them by the people.
It's better to, you know, speak softly and carry a big stick. But, you know, I mean, I Rebuild NH has a track record now. They've been doing a lot of things for a long time. I'm glad they're there. I think I appreciate what they're doing.
We were sending a strongly worded letter to the governor suggesting that he probably should reconsider, right, would probably carry more weight than a demand that's not going to be backed by anything.
Mm.
Right, like, if you're going to ask your master to change, you might as well phrase it as a question and a request.
I like that you phrased that as if you're going to ask your master to change.
Well, that is exactly what this is.
Yes.
Like, when we, the little people, talk to His Excellency, then, yeah, we are requesting a change of treatment
Doesn't
among
we
your
mean
slaves.
Little already?
Huh?
Doesn't we mean little already?
Hmm?
We
different kind of we. Yeah.
Oh. So it would be we, the we people?
And if it's we, then it's completely different entirely.
We, the we people. Wow.
Here's another thing too that works better, I think, and that is, again, for all the good that Rebuild NH does, they are kind of hacking at a branch, right? Like, COVID is just one issue, and they're just dealing with one aspect of one issue right now. It's better to strike the root, and the bad New Hampshire COVID policies, to the extent that they exist, they exist mostly because of New Hampshire's connection to the federal government. That's what corrupts almost everything that happens in New Hampshire. So that's why New Hampshire independence legislation that's why I focus on that, because I can't play whack-a-mole with all these different bad things that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, when this was going through, the only reason that we adopted the policies that we did is because we wanted to be in compliance with all of the other states that were surrounding us. And if New Hampshire was not a part of the states, then there wouldn't be a motivation to do that.
Right. Good point.
So New Hampshire does have independence legislation coming up this coming year, and that's what I'll focus on. But I can always tell you what Rebuild is doing.
Yeah, and to be fair, I don't know anything about Rebuild NH or what they're doing.
Yeah, so, tell the listeners more, Dave.
Oh, well, I mean, they're against COVID lockdowns. That was how they were formed. So they go back in 2020.
So it's a fairly new organization.
Yeah, they've organized demonstrations. I believe Andrew Manoose was in charge at first, and now Melissa Blasick, if I'm saying that correctly, is in charge. They're both current or former state reps. Manoose is a Free Stater. They just take a pretty standard lockdown. I say anti-lockdown. That means they're also going to be against, like, federal funding for COVID procedures inside New Hampshire or any sort of restrictions on employment. Now, one area where they take a non-libertarian position is they've tried to back legislation that stops businesses from firing you if you refuse to get the vaccine, that kind of thing. So that's kind of taking it too far. But like so many conservative-leaning organizations, they're about 80%, and maybe in their case, more like 90% pro-freedom.
All right. Fair enough.
Anything else you want to share tonight, Dave?
No. That is the whole shebang.
Well, before you go, what can we who are looking to, as you point out, to hack at the root of this to support New Hampshire independence, what can we do for that as well?
The most useful thing you could do if you're in New Hampshire is show up at the hearing, which will probably be around February 2024, where they discuss the independence bill. It's secession legislation that lets the people vote in a referendum, basically, on secession. So what we had last time, 2 years ago when this came up, we had a lot of people, a good rally outside, a nice publicity stunt where everybody sang the New Hampshire national anthem. And it was a lot of fun. It was really inspiring. But, hardly anyone got in front of that committee and said, how the federal government had hurt them personally. And that's what's missing. You need to talk about your own experience. You can't go in there and talk about policy when you're giving statehouse testimony or how you like something or don't like it. That is unimportant. All that matters to that committee is what happened to you. You've got to go in there and you tell it, like, for instance, I would tell them about the time I was arrested for handing out flyers, right, by the feds.
Yep.
So you go in and you tell them what the Fed did to you. That's how you get movement in a committee. Does that make sense?
Good advice, Dave.
How can people find out more about NH Independence?
NHExit.us is the best source, but there are many sources.
Awesome. Dave Ridley, thank you. RidleyReport.com if you want to find out more about what he does. We appreciate you, man. 603-283-6160. Do you want to talk to Skeeter tonight?
We avoided him all week last week. So.
Yeah? All right, let's bring him on. It's Skeeter here.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Skeeter here on Free Talk Live.
Skit, scat, skills.
It's a boy. It's a boy. To the
we
destroyer.
Already did the shtick, man.
Yeah, now you've done
the shtick. Evolutionary capitalist young Skeet. Hey,
young Skeet.
You know what behavior the market will incentivize.
Wait, Skeeter, how old are you?
Does it matter?
Approximately.
Well,
you
only
said you're young.
If you're claiming to be young.
Yeah, you said you're young.
We find out that you're an 85-year-old man, and you're young Skeet. I mean...
Yeah, are you like
mentally
15?
Young. Mentally young.
I'm an 80-year-old trans woman. Does that make more sense?
Well, absolutely. You are in California. I would absolutely identify as an 80-year-old trans woman if I lived in California, so that would make sense.
That would make, that would put into, you know, context my voice, right? So, you know what behavior the market won't incentivize? The defense of natural rights. I'm here to...
Why would the market not incentivize that?
Because I'm here to use evolutionary profit to debunk libertarian
property. Okay, so first of all, can you cite an instance where the market did not incentivize that?
Yeah, property rights, like self-ownership, it doesn't guarantee, again, I said natural rights, so I'm here to use evolutionary profit to debunk property rights, homesteading, rightful transfer, restitution, and all those things. I'm here to show that evil capitalism's principle of evolutionary profit.
And again, I'm going to ask.
Not even accounting profit or utilitarian.
Give me an example of where the market did not incentivize those things.
We stole USA from the Indians, right?
That wasn't the market. Like, believe it or not, stealing things is not the market. In fact, stealing is literally the opposite of the market. Like, when we talk about the free market, it is free from theft, coercion, and fraud.
No, it isn't.
That is literally the definition of a free market. Is a market which is free from theft, coercion, and fraud.
Free market. I'm talking about the market, which is the real market.
Well, the freer it is, the more of a market it is. And the less free it is, the less of a market, and the more of something other than a market it is.
Is free market redundant?
Why don't you guys give back your land to the Indians?
Except that in most cases, there is not a free market. There is a mixed market.
Okay.
Why don't you give your land back to the Indians?
I would love to answer that. I would love to answer that, Skeeter. Hang on. Skeeter.
Using home
Skeeter. All right. Putting him back on hold for a minute.
Why don't you give your land back to the Indians?
Well, first of all, I don't, like, really have claim to the land. It's the federal government and or the state government to whom I pay rent to.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I wanted to, let's just say I fulfilled my agreement, which is a mortgage, right? I fulfilled my agreement to pay off the property which I purchased. Once my contract is fulfilled, I still yet must pay rent to a government entity in the form of taxation, and so therefore...
In perpetuity.
I can't even give away my property to the Native Americans if I wanted to.
That's the way it should be, because you're obligated to pay property taxes, because it's still U.S. territory. Number one, first and foremost, it's U.S. territory.
What is the U.S.?
Bad capitalist territory.
It's the land that the U.S. government and all the people fought for. We pay
all the people.
Pay money to defend.
That's a lot of people.
You guys couldn't. You guys cannot defend yourselves from people like Russia, China. If you guys were in Ukraine, space, you would get taken over in a heartbeat.
I feel
they
like
they can't even take over the Ukraine in a heartbeat.
I feel like Skeeter is getting upset.
That's why you want to steal without help.
I can hear the spittle of Skeeter hitting his phone.
With your help, they still haven't
stealing what is rightfully mine, which is your protection.
That's why you want to steal New Hampshire and free ride national defense. Because you know if you had to go to places like Liberland, you would get taken over.
What is free ride national defense? We'd have to defend ourselves against the encroachment of the federal government.
Skeeter, hang on. Go ahead, Richie.
No, you guys keep it up. And Ukraine is only...
All right, fine.
I was suggesting that if New Hampshire freed itself from the confines of the federal government...
I was going to let him go for another 2 minutes, but
yelling incoherently. That we would then necessarily have to defend ourselves against some encroachment by the United States federal government.
Right.
No doubt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm betting on us.
I would bet on us.
Yeah.
I would, too. Well, and also, I wouldn't bet that the federal government would do, well, anything, really. Because think about that. Let's just say everybody in New Hampshire got together and said, you know what? No more. We declare our independence.
Yeah.
Right? And they went, oh, yeah? And then, like, you know, a bunch of us, like, sort of hung out at the borders, if you will, you know, armed or unarmed or whatever it is, for a while.
It would take a while.
My guess is the federal government is going to do two things, Jack and S.
Okay.
They are not about to approach the character assassination that would happen if they declared war on their own turf.
It wouldn't be their turf anymore, though.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, okay. Is like they don't want that PR or lack of, right? They don't want that negative responsibility. I think that they might put up some sort of a show.
Okay.
You know, they might, you know, but I think in the long run, they would back off because they
don't
want to
be border guards on horseback at the Massachusetts border. Keeping the rabble out of Massachusetts.
Well, there's one thing keeping like Massachusetts people from coming into.
No, I'm talking about another thing. I'm talking about United States federal border guard now on the borders of Massachusetts preventing.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened already. Okay. What with all the New Hampshire independence talk and organizations, and like I am truly surprised.
I'm just saying they're on the Mexican border, and we did a story, was it last week or the week before, about them trying to enhance it on the Canadian border.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We would be adversarial for a period of time. I don't know how long that would be.
I don't
before you decide to open yourself one simple question. Do you think that New Hampshire is less able to defend itself than Vietnam and Afghanistan?
I think it's far more ready and able to do so.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
603-283-6160. Do you support divorcing the federal government? Give us a call. Let us know. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. The White House condemned Elon Musk, owner of the social media site X, formerly Twitter, for endorsing an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory on his platform. White House spokesman Andrew Bates criticized Musk for calling the conspiracy the actual truth. Musk faced backlash for echoing the belief that white people in Western countries are being replaced with immigrants, a notion common among white nationalists. In another setback, IBM announced it halted advertising on X due to reports of its ads appearing alongside content praising Nazis, complicating the platform's efforts to regain support from major brands. Members of the United Auto Workers Union have seemingly given their nod to a new contract with the big three U.S. automakers. The vote at General Motors was closely contested, with approximately 55% of members supporting the deal. Preliminary results indicate that members at Stellantis and Ford are also likely to approve the contract. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG. Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. It is Free Talk Live, the live radio call-in talk program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever's on your mind. You don't have to talk about what we're talking about. It's fine. You can bring up any topic. There's very few rules here, but of course the most important is don't cuss. No cussing allowed. Sadly, we are governed, i.e. regulated, by a bunch of tyrants calling themselves the FCC, who claim to own the air. Large boo.
And sometimes the hosts need to self-censor more frequently as well. Just
It happens.
It does.
I have dumped myself, and I will dump myself again, I'm sure, because the FCC doesn't like how I talk. So, at any rate, 603-283-6160. That's the phone number if you want to call. Join us tonight.
And the less incoherently you yell into the phone, the more likely we are to keep you on longer.
Like, we are a radio program, right? So, while there are some people that want to call in and debate the finer points of mathematical equations and how it relates to the price of tea in China today, like, we're not going to talk about that. It's boring, right? Not only is it boring, but, like, no one else wants to hear about that. So be entertaining and be willing to have a conversation. Those are really the only rules. And don't cuss.
If you bring it up, we might address it, though.
That's
true. You can talk about anything.
Yeah, but we aren't going to dwell on it and spend a half an hour or whatever talking about that, right? Because it's just not
interesting. It's a general audience show.
Right. We have to be, first and foremost, we are a show, and so entertainment is at the top of our things to do, if you will, during the show. But we're also a freedom-oriented show, so we like to come at things from the perspective of, what would life be like without government? Because government is the antithesis of freedom. If you don't believe me, look it up. Government as an institution is the exact opposite of freedom because it violates consent. The existence of government violates consent.
Yep.
And that's my perspective the whole time. Yeah.
Nature of that organization type.
Yes.
As compared to anything else,
yes,
is to violate consent.
And it's the only organization, the only institution on planet Earth that is based on the violation of consent.
Well, it's the only socially acceptable one, yeah.
I mean,
whatever Jeffrey Epstein was running, that was definitely founded on the idea of violating consent.
I would say socially tolerated versus socially acceptable.
What, governments?
Yes.
Because most people tolerate
governments.
No, that is wrong.
But
that is so far wrong. Most people equate what is legal with what is moral.
Yep. That's horrible.
I wish that were not the case, but that is the case. So, let's be honest about what we're doing here.
And when they change the law, they will realign their morality.
Yes. That is correct. So smoking pot in New Hampshire, currently, morally bad. But if we ever change the law, then it will be morally good.
Well, I mean, they're not arresting people for smoking pot in New Hampshire. They're not arresting people for having pot under, 2 ounces. Or I don't know what it is. Don't quote me on that.
Which is why it is only slightly morally evil.
And in fact, in ways, I kind of like what New Hampshire has done versus some of the other states.
That have legalized it?
Well, have they, though? Or have they just governmentally institutionalized it?
Tax and regulate.
All right.
Right. Enough. So, there's arguments to be made for both the legalization and or... Like, to me, legalization should just be we wipe off all the laws about marijuana off the books, and now you can do whatever you want, however you want, and you're free to do so. Yeah. That's not what happened in Vermont. That's not what happened in Maine. That's not what happened in Massachusetts. That's not what happened in Colorado. It's not what happened in Washington
and
State.
And even that wouldn't work. So even if Vermont or Colorado or wherever decided we will wipe off the books 100% of the marijuana legislation, that still wouldn't make it legal because they're still under the auspices of the federal government where it is a Schedule I drug.
Yeah.
They were talking about rolling that back a little bit recently, too.
Maybe you won't go to jail forever. If you have this flower, aren't we benevolent dictators?
Yeah, and to all of these states.
I think it was more for research.
It would take more than that. If you actually wanted true legalization of cannabis in New Hampshire, we'd have to pass a law saying we will not allow people to be persecuted for this.
By the federal government.
By the federal government. Yeah. We'd have to, specifically, for example, it's written into the New Hampshire Constitution that we have a right to privacy.
Yes.
More reason to secede.
So,
yes.
In order to do this, it wasn't enough that we just remove all of the things that are restricting your privacy.
Yeah.
Because then the federal government will absolutely spy on you. No, we have said no. Not only is there not a law against it, there is a law protecting it.
I want to just say this to all of the states, if you will, that have, quote, legalized, unquote, marijuana, i.e., made it an incredibly regulated market where the government taxes each thing by, I don't know, 20-30% at every level. The growers, the distributors, the retailers, right? They dictate how your store can look, like what kind of decorations.
That's the weirdest
and all this kind of crap. That is not a free market at all. No. That is the government going, no. We are allowing you to sell this plant for the purposes of us extracting tax money from your customers.
Well, okay. And how many of these places you can't even take a seed, a piece of nature, and plant it in the ground?
Like your garden.
That will put you in jail. Yeah.
So I want to say to all of these states that have, quote, legalized, unquote, marijuana, the next time you need funding for whatever insert special pet project you have here, the way you're going to go about getting that funding is not by raising more taxes. You're going to go about getting that funding by releasing the appropriate amount of prisoners in your jails in your state who are in there on marijuana charges. And then you're going to recoup that money and use that for your special pet project.
I want to suggest that it might be a little unreasonable to expect that those states legalizing marijuana to put it in a category enhanced above and beyond as far as freedom and whatnot, beyond general goods and services. Right? Like general goods and services, okay. They already tax and regulate. I'm not saying they should, but they already do.
Okay.
So when marijuana comes up for legalization and they go, well, it's going to be like Coca-Cola. We're going to tax and regulate. You can only put X amount of sugar or saccharin or whatever, you know, in per can of Coca-Cola.
And so in New Hampshire, if there's no, you know, tax on goods or whatever, if it's not a...
It's an enhanced category above and beyond the general thing. Well, New Hampshire doesn't have a sales tax, so
right.
It shouldn't.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So right, yeah. In New Hampshire, if that were the case, then it would just be for sale however you wanted to, and it would be up to the consumer to purchase it in a way, shape, and form from a person whom they've chosen voluntarily.
Which is why the weirdest thing is limiting the way the store can look. Because generally, that's excessive above and beyond the way they tax and regulate other goods and services.
Right, and I can illustrate this very easily. Anyone who has even ever heard of the marijuana culture in Amsterdam knows that in Amsterdam, if you want to go buy a joint or a pack of joints or whatever, you don't go to the weed store. You go to the coffee shop.
Mm.
The fact that there isn't a coffee shop in the United States currently amongst all of the states, any of the states that have, quote, legalized, unquote, marijuana, where a coffee shop sells marijuana should tell you all you need to know about the supposed legalization. People cannot do what they want with this plant. People right. cannot do what they want with this flower. If they could, I could go out tomorrow and open a weed coffee shop. But I can't do that because even in the states where it's illegal or made of a very low priority to persecute, I cannot do that. I am not free to do that.
Yeah. And the reason that I don't know if it will ever be legal in New Hampshire specifically is because it is a competing product with alcohol. Pure and simple. And our politicians, like politicians in the country, are bribed by alcohol producers. Make no mistake there. But in this particular state, it is a huge part of the state funding.
What I like
about...
Because
it's run by the state.
Right.
The
liquor stores are all state run. What I like about what New Hampshire has done by... They use the word decriminalization. I hate that word because it doesn't describe what they've done. What they've done is they've made prosecuting marijuana the lowest priority for any law enforcement.
Yeah, so it's low priority criminalization.
Not so lowest. Yeah. Specifically lowest. So no one is touching these cases. If anybody gets arrested for anything like that, it's just because the cop was being a dick. Right? And then, like, whoever wrote, they're like, whatever, get
like,
out of
well,
here.
I mean,
right?
Yeah,
really
cut
his own
retirement.
We're never going to... So what I like about New Hampshire and what they did is that they did not make the state a competing entity to, I'm going to call him the street dealer, right? Your regular guy. Right, whoever it is, like if you're a marijuana connoisseur and you live in New Hampshire, you don't, like maybe you go across the border to a legal store to one of the states around us or whatever because it's a small state, but you likely have a regular guy, right? Dave, let's call him, right? Not Ridley. We'll call him Bob for lack of a better.
Because
Dave's not here. So let's say Bob is your guy, right? You're like, hey, Bob, you know, what do you got? Can I get? And he's like, sure. like in every other state that, quote, legalized it, the street dealers still exist. Right? They didn't put them out of business in any way, shape, or form, but what they did is they launched the state now as competition in the marketplace,
right,
albeit the black market, if you were, the gray market, for marijuana. Now, what this did is it forced your regular dealers, your Bobs out there, to be more competitive, to carry different products and that kind of a thing. So they had to, like, sort of expand their repertoire or whatever.
Well, I was comfortable being just a weed dealer, but I can't just sling weed and it be worth my time. I better expand into coke.
Let's just say they can, right? Let's just say that they were the weed dealer and that's all they did. Now, instead of just carrying bud, they got to carry edibles or they got to carry vape cartridges or they got to make those available to their customer base in some way, shape, or form, right? So legalization in the states that have, quote, legalized it, unquote, all they've done is made the state like the biggest competitor to the street dealer. So if you're a street dealer and you can't compete with the quality and service of the state stores, then you're going to go out of business real quick. Whereas in New Hampshire, none of that happened. The Bobs in New Hampshire are still being Bob.
Right.
Right. They don't have this state level competition, at least within the state.
Right.
And that's kind of what I like about it, because they haven't introduced this false tyrannical market mechanism that forces people to now, like, expand beyond their original breadth, right? Whatever they could handle.
Right.
I mean, does it matter where the competition comes from?
Yes.
Like, if you can't compete with the state on, like, price and quality.
It does, because the state has the advantage that no other market entity has.
Go on.
They won't get arrested?
It's the state.
Well, but if it's legal,
right, it's the state. Right? They have that advantage. They're mandating how things should be done instead of allowing the market to decide how things should be done.
In just about every other example that we will bring up on this show, we will say that private industry can do it better than the state, any government. Or look how bad the government runs. They can't even, you know, do X.
This is why Bob's still exist in the states that have legalized marijuana.
Well, but you're in the other side of your mouth is saying that the state is putting Bob out of business.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Oh, I'll make that argument for sure. In Colorado, you lost so many Bobs.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They all went out of business. Because they were competing with, I mean, it's really simple. They were still running the risk of being arrested, having to show up in court to defend the fact that they had this flower, whereas all of these brick-and-mortar shops, they are not facing that risk.
Are the consumers getting higher quality weed at a better price?
They're getting higher.
Whatever.
It's the same, honestly. Okay. It is, you get very high quality at the same price.
So,
but because the shops that have gone through the rigmarole, that have jumped through the hoops, that have paid off and are continuing to pay off the state and the city, because they receive a certain amount of protection from the federal government, from the state government and the city government.
Yeah.
You would think that overhead would drive up prices.
No, not at all.
So
prices of restricted anything are inflated because of the risk associated with them.
And the tax. So, for example, in Washington State, when they legalized marijuana, they taxed the growers at 30%. They taxed the distributors at 30%. They taxed the retailers at 30%. You do the math there, right? What does that do to the price? So the Bobs around are like, oh, I can beat that price.
Then they don't have to diversify. They just beat the price.
I'll give you an example, too, because I was a fan. Like, I lived in Seattle. And, like, for the first time on planet Earth, you could walk down to a store and buy weed in a store. Right? That was amazing. I'm that old, right? I'm dating myself here. But, like, I grew up always looking over my shoulder whenever anybody was like, dude, you want to smoke a joint? You know? And so it was the most amazing thing to finally, like, be able to be like, oh, my gosh, there's a pot shop down the road from my apartment, right? So I both employed Bob, if you will, and the local weed store, depending on my needs or necessity. I'll give you an example. I was having a little, we were going to go to see a friend of mine's concert, and so I'd have people over at the house, and my friend, we'll call him B., he came over, and he was supposed to bring weed, right? You know, we could smoke up before we go to the show. And he's like, oh, dude, man, I left my weed at home. And I'm like, okay, dude, walk your ass down the block, right? Two blocks on the left-hand side is, you know, the local pot shop. and go get us. He's like, okay, I'll be right back. And so he did.
Okay.
Right? And so I didn't have to call Bob. Now, at the same time, I went to the same store. They used to have a wake and bake special on, like, Sundays or whatever. So if you get there at 9, between 9 and 10, there was, like, I don't know, 10% off. Plus, they had this grab bag thing where if you just gave them $20, you reach your hand into this bag and grab one item, and whatever that was is what you got for $20. It was usually worth double that. Right, because the way the legislation worked is that you had expiration dates on your product, even though, like, if it's hermetically sealed, marijuana is not going bad, right? But they had, so they were like, well, what can we do with this product that's about to expire? Oh, we'll do a wake and bake special, right? Yeah. Grab bag on Sunday. So I go in there, and I had been in there a bazillion times. I knew Jim and Janet and Greg and Martha, you know, all the people that regularly work there. It's like going to a bar. They're like, oh, Norm, or whatever, right? When you walk in. And so I go in, I'm like, yeah, I want to, oh, let me get a grab bag, and let me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, it'll be this much. And they have this machine that takes your Washington State driver's license. It's got a barcode on the back or whatever.
Yep.
And they just shove your license down into this machine. They go, right? And then it gives you, like, a green light or a red light, apparently. I didn't know this.
Okay.
I just watched them do it every time I went in there, and I'm like, that's kind of weird that they're scanning my license every time I make a weed purchase. There's no reason for them to track that at all. But they did, nonetheless. And so the guy goes, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't sell to you. And I'm, oh, ha-ha, thanks for joking around with me, Dave, or whatever the guy's name was. And he's like, no, really, I can't sell this to you because your license has expired. And I'm like, but, dude, I'm like 45 years old or something, right? You know, and he's like, sorry, man, I don't write the law, right? You know, this kind of a thing. And so I could not, even though I was fully gray bearded, not fully, but like gray in the beard, and they knew me, they just could not sell to me because my state license has expired.
Understood.
Even though it totally said that I was way more than old enough, I didn't have a passport or anything like that, but they were just like, nope, sorry. So what did I do? I called Bob.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Bob, I couldn't buy today because my license is expired. He's like, what do you need?
Right. So that would be a fine example, right? Because if we're going to make the argument on the show that the free market, the black market, the gray market, you know, the unrestricted market can do it better than the restricted market can, and we have this prime example in front of us of what used to be a restricted market, you know, now with government being one of the competitors. The black market should still do a better job.
It does.
Okay, but that's your claim. Peekless has argued conversely, right? So
No. I still agree with that, but it also drives a bunch of them out. So whereas there used to be 100 Bobs, now there's like 5 or 10 Bobs.
Okay. But they should still be able to compete, provide higher quality at a lower price than the state institution. And if that's not the case, then we need to look deeper as to why that might be.
What I saw just from personal experience was the state stores had a wider variety of selection, although limited quantity.
Okay.
Right? So if I wanted to buy, I don't know, you know, mint chocolate edibles that were sugar-free, they'll have like one pack on the wall, right, on there, maybe two.
Got it.
Right. And then if I buy them both, they're out for weeks.
Right.
Right.
So we would look at that as a market opportunity for any other competitor to go like, well, mint edibles, there's clearly more demand than there is
supply. My 5-pound bag of mint edibles, right?
What,
you know,
whatever
my,
it is.
You know, 3-ounce bag,
right?
Whatever
it is. There is an abundance of demand for a product that the state is not supplying.
Right.
Then you move to the black market, and that should be still more competitive.
Right.
Well, and the way that it competes at that point is with service.
Sure.
So... if
they would
if sugar-free mint chocolate edibles are your thing, and it's like, man, I gotta hit up a new shop every time I want this because they only carry one bar of this stuff. But if you have your Bob, and he knows that, like, I have a reliable customer for mint chocolate edibles, then it will be worth his effort to either source or himself figure out how to turn his weed into mint chocolate edibles because he knows that he's got a reliable customer.
Yeah.
Whereas the corner store, they don't know that they have a reliable customer. And even if they did, they tend to be much slower moving. Anything with a corporate structure tends to be very inflexible.
And to your point... my Bob in this particular story made house calls.
Nice.
So, which is illegal again, for the stores to do. Right. Like the stores couldn't. You don't get like Uber Weed, right?
Yeah.
You
could do Uber Eats. Illegally good service.
You could do Uber Eats, but like if marijuana was truly legal,
service so good,
you could get on your legal. On your Uber app and be like, I need an ounce of some Maui Wowie, right? I need some Girl Scout cookies. So, and give me some mint chocolate edibles too, and deliver them to my house, please. That's a free market.
Back to you, Kevin. Yeah. What would happen to the Bobs in New Hampshire if they legalized, if we know they can outcompete the state apparatus anyway?
I think there would be consolidation because the mass majority of people would begin shopping at the stores because it's an experience they've never had before.
Okay. That fades.
It does. Right? It does.
Like the line at Krispy Kreme is out the door and around the corner every time they open up a new one, right? Mm. And eventually there's just a regular line of customers.
But I think it's
so Bob becomes a niche at that point.
That's fine.
So the thing is, most people, they really do believe that legal and good are the same thing.
Yeah.
So nice most people would really prefer to do, okay, well, I mean, I got to go out myself, even though there's 3 feet of ice out there, but it's legal.
I think
so. I'm going to go to the corner store. Whereas some people, there's a niche that are like, you know what? I actually enjoy it when I'm getting my pot illegally. It makes me feel rebellious. So that's your niche. And that's where your Bob serves.
I think the difference in this case is that it has been illegal so long that the first customers lining up at the door aren't going to be people trying weed for the first time.
Right.
Right. They're going to be regular weed smokers trying this new mechanism for distribution for the first time.
Yeah.
And they will already have that black market comparison in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're going to automatically think the government weed is better. They're going to have a basis for comparison.
Yeah.
And may still choose Bob.
Well, and right. And then the Bobs that still exist in competition with the state-sponsored stores will simply have to do what every other entity under competition has ever had to do.
Innovate and get better.
There you go. So they will do things like, oh, I don't know, delivery, for example.
There you go.
You know, they will carry odd products. Or if they have a niche segment of customers that are always buying X, they'll make sure that they always have X on hand, right? You know, they'll do those things. Or when they get a shipment of X in, they'll be like, they'll call all their customers, be like, hey, man,
right.
I know you're a regular. I've got this.
Then I still think you should be okay with New Hampshire legalizing it regardless.
Depends on how they legalize it. Because if they're still making it illegal for me to put a seed into some dirt, then it's not a move in the right direction.
603.
It's a move in the right direction.
No, it's not.
6160. 603-283-6160. Hour number 3 of Free Talk Live is coming up.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.